Brahma, the Supreme Brahman. Mahapurusha, the Supreme Person Krishna. Samhitam, known as Sarvabhuta, of all living entities. Atmabhavena, as the Super Soul. Bhuteshu, in every living entity. Antarhitam, within the core of the heart. Gunai, by qualities. And now Madan Mohan Prabhu will continue.
This is a continuation. Could I have one light here for this one? I was thinking, actually, I'll read this verse. Here is a learned, highly qualified brahmana engaged in performing austerity and eagerly desiring to worship the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul who lives within the core of the heart of all living entities. Report. The wife of the brahmana did not regard her husband as a superficial brahmana who was called a brahmana merely because he was born in a brahmin family. Rather, this brahmana was actually qualified with the brahminical symptoms, yasha, yau, lakshanam, proktam, bhagavatam, 7.11.35. The symptoms of a brahmana are also stated in the shastra. Maybe we'd say this all together. Sama, dhamma, tata, sucham, kesa. Arjanam evacha jnana vijnanam astitam brahma karma. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the brahmanas work. Bhagavad Gita 18.42. Not only must a brahmana be qualified, but he must also engage in actual brahminical activities. Simply to be qualified is not enough. One must engage in brahminical duties. The duties of a brahman is to know the param brahman, Krishna. Param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram paramam bhavam. Because this brahmana was actually qualified and was also engaged in brahminical activities, brahma karma, killing him would be a greatly sinful act, and the brahmin's wife requested that he not be killed. Om ajnana tamirandasya jana jana salakaya chaksus meditanyena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Jaitam Surito Pangor Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarva Slav Dambojo Radha Madhita Mohano Avarujite. How many people know what that word means? Avarujite. One. Before we begin this Srimad Bhagavatam, I just thought that we would mention this one word. This is one of my favorite words, because this is such a special activity that we're doing. We're coming every day and listening on the internet to the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this particular verse is in the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it means by this activity, this cultivation of knowledge of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna becomes established within your heart. So this is the result that we're going to get by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. This particular verse, I thought we would back up a couple more verses just so we have the context again. We understand that there was a curse that took place, and the king became a Rakshasa. And when he did, he went out into the forest, and when he ran into this situation here. He says, Shudasa thus acquired the properties of a man-eater and received on his leg a black spot for which he was known as Kama Sapada. Once King Kama Sapada saw a Brahmin couple engaged in sexual intercourse in the forest. Being influenced by the propensity of a Rakshasa and being very hungry, the king seized the Brahmin. Then the poor woman, the Brahmin's wife, said to the king, so this is the continuation of what she said here. So there's just two more things that she said before this particular verse, which is particular verse Prabhupada picked out to purport one. But she was also, one of the things I was thinking about, here's a woman, a very chaste, dutiful wife, whose focus on Krishna is so strong that here she's being, her and her husband were engaged in sexual intercourse, which can be distracting. And she completely keeps her mind focused. Not only that, but they're under attack, that this person is about to eat her husband. So it's like a tiger attacking. At the same time that she was engaged in sex, and her focus on Krishna doesn't change. So this is just a little bit of the quality. Of course, nowadays it's called Kulu Suja Sambhava. I think I pronounced that right, but if I didn't, that's because of that statement. In this age, everyone is born a sudra. So, of course, you can turn bell metal into gold if you have the process. As Srila Prabhupada's sadhana, this hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is avarujite. So, this simple devoted wife, who doesn't even have a name here, it's just the wife of a Brahmin, it's an exalted situation that's being pointed out here, because we're hearing over the last couple of days our sadhana process is based on the principle of always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And can you think of a more difficult situation? You've been pounced on by a Rakshasa who's about to eat your husband while you're engaged, the way she was engaged. Okay, so she says, O king, O hero, O hero, you are not actually a man-eater. Rather, you are among the descendants of Maharaj Ishvaku. Indeed, you are a great fighter, the husband of Madhayati. You should not act irreligiously in this way. I desire to have a son. Please, therefore, return my husband, who has not yet impregnated me. And then the next verse was, O king, O hero, this human body is meant for universal benefits. If you kill his body untimely, you will kill all the benefits of the human life. And then today's verse was, here is a highly learned, qualified Brahmin engaged in performing austerities, eagerly desiring to worship the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul, who lives within the core of the heart of all living entities. So, of course, if she's thinking that at this particular time, she's also seeing that. To be able to speak to him in this way when it's such a intense situation. So I'll continue along in the purport where the list of those qualities that were just mentioned from the Bhagavatam. Peacefulness. So certainly she's representing some peacefulness here. Self-control. Austerity. purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. And that was Bhagavad Gita 18:42. So, of course, they're not just a list of words here. These are the symptoms that come out when a person engages his consciousness in thinking about Krishna. Krishna is, that's probably a little bit longer in the purport, but all right, I'll go on with the purport. Not only must a Brahmin be qualified, but he must also engage in actual brahminical activities. Simply to be qualified is not enough. One must engage in brahminical duties. The duty of a Brahmin is to know Param Brahma, Krishna. So where does Krishna say this verse? Param Brahma, Param Dharma, Pravitram, Paramam Bhavan. So where do you know where Krishna says, where Arjuna says this verse? Oh, not in the book here. It's in the, up there, though. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't get that right. Okay, so of course, now, if we were all paying attention when Keshe was reading, he was reading from the Bhagavad Gita, and he was reading four particular verses. Maybe we'll remember he was reading Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 10, verse 8, and I imagine we'll probably continue for the next couple of days to do 9, 10, 11. So here's 12. See, so at the conclusion of that, hearing those four verses, those four nutshell verses, Arjuna came to a conclusion. That was what's being mentioned here, because Prabhupada also mentions that. Param Brahma. So, of course, a Brahmin is one who is interested in understanding what is Brahman, and not only what is Brahman, but what is the Supreme Brahman. So I found this one nice verse, actually a couple nice verses. It says the main, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:6:30, in the purport, Prabhupada, it's the universal form they're talking. Well, the verse is, O chief of the Kuru dynasty, the Vedic wisdom became manifest from the mouth of the Bharat, the gigantic form. Those who are inclined to this Vedic knowledge are called Brahmins, and they are the natural teachers and spiritual masters of all the orders of society. So it says, if Prabhupada's purport to that, he quotes Bhagavad Gita 4:13, the four orders of the human society develop with the order of the body of the universe, the gigantic form. The bodily divisions are the mouth, arms, waist, and legs. Those who are situated on the mouth are called Brahmins. Those who are situated on the arms are called Kshatriyas. And those who are situated on the waist are called Vaishyas. And those who are situated on the legs are called Sudras. Everyone is situated on the body of the Supreme in his gigantic Visvarupa form. In the terms of the four orders, therefore, no caste is considered degraded because of being situated on a particular part of the body. In our bodies, we do not show any actual difference in the treatment towards our hands or legs. Each and every part of the body is important. Therefore, although the mouth is the most important part, bodily part, if other parts of the body are cut off from the body, a man can continue to live. But if his mouth is cut off, he cannot live. Therefore, this is the most important part of the body. And the Lord is called the most important body of the Lord is called the sitting place of the Brahmins. those are inclined to the Vedic wisdom. One who is not inclined to the Vedic wisdom, but to mundane affairs, cannot be called a Brahmin, even if he's born in a Brahmin family or father. To have a Brahmin father does not qualify for a Brahmin. And then this next sentence I thought is very significant. The main qualification of a Brahmin is to be inclined to the Vedic wisdom. The Vedas are situated on the mouth of the Lord, and therefore anyone who is inclined to the Vedic wisdom is certainly situated on the mouth of the Lord and is a Brahmin. This inclination towards Vedic wisdom is not restricted to any particular caste or community. Anyone from any family, from any part of the world, may become inclined to the Vedic wisdom and will be qualified as a real Brahmin. So Srila Prabhupada's mission, he took up from his spiritual master, was books. These books that Srila Prabhupada has given us, when you give them out, they're so charmingly presented. Prabhupada has such a wonderful affection for Krishna and every living entity being part and parcel of Krishna that it's in all of his literature. So anyone who starts reading Prabhupada's books, they're actually turning into Brahmins because they're going to be inclined toward this Vedic wisdom, and not just the Vedic wisdom, but Srila Prabhupada has given us the Granthavrat, the cream of even more than that. I don't know what ice cream, you know, if you get cream, whipped cream. He's taken it and he's presented it with such flavor because of the flavor he has, the rarity. So in this verse here, Srila Prabhupada's purport is pointing out how one of his features is the difference that he wanted to establish basing the Varnashram system and the Brahmin specifically in Vedic knowledge, not social custom, that if you're born in a Brahmin family, then you're a Brahmin. He says you actually have to be engaged. And ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is established to give people engagements. Because here he's saying you can't just be a Brahmin, you have to have engagement. And of course this is one of the foremost principles, is having some engagement, any engagement, big, small, whatever it is, it's all universally absolute. Prabhupada would give the example that if someone's sweeping the veranda or the temple and they're dressing the deities, it's the same. If he's washing the pots, it's the same. So the universal absolute principle applies here, that you engage in the service of Krishna and what the result comes. There's it's a science, vijnana. And by serving the pure devotee, one gets a particular effect. Yasya prasada bhagava prasado. He gets an affinity for what? Who knows? Second chapter, Bhagavatam, first canto. By serving the pure devotee, one gets an... Anybody remember? Pushkar? I tell you, he gets an affinity for hearing. Now, the next verse, if... it's a little bit better remembering these things. It says, once when he develops this urge, what happens if he has an urge for hearing the message of the Bhagavatam? There's another effect that takes place. So the first thing is, by service to the spiritual master, he's pleased. You make advancement by getting the urge to hear. So one can tell if how much, and in some regards, this is... not that it's exclusive, but specifically in these verses it's mentioning it, that he develops this urge to hear. And then what happens when he hears Srimad Bhagavatam? Avarujate? Who said that? Who's paying attention here? Oh, yeah, that's the verse. The super soul within his heart cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from his heart. So who would like to be free from material desires? Oh, one, two, oh, a couple. And you know what you can tell if you still have them. You know how you can tell if you still have material desires? If you look around, you're not smiling. What was it that one, the book distributor said, the non-devotee asked him, he said, what do I have to give up to become a devotee? Do you remember what he said? You have to give up your suffering. So, susukam, kevala anandakan, these words are there. So, if you ever look in the mirror and you're not smiling, then you have to say, I must still have some material desire. That's an easy way to tell. Because I know I was talking to this one person, and I asked, is it because your material desire isn't being fulfilled that you're not smiling, or is it because you just have a material desire that you're not smiling? And, of course, I knew the answer. It was a rhetorical question. Any material desires, whether you fulfill it, don't fulfill it, they're always making one unhappy. And what's the song that they're compared to two witches? Bhukti and those two, that even if you desire liberation or you desire material enjoyment, they're just two witches that tantalize you with a hope that you can find happiness in the material world. Srila Prabhupada, I had to look up the word, he says, take it as axiomatic truth. Who knows axiomatic? Big word. I think it's a math term. Okay, someone check. What's it mean over there? You're doing the garland? Oh. It's like postulate. You just take it that this is a fact. If you try to figure it out, you're going to waste a lot of time. So there's certain things that just work. Take it from the authority, and you'll have no problem passing the test, getting the answers right. He says, if you want to try to figure out exactly how they came up with this conclusion, you're going to spend a lot of time, and you'll probably never figure it out. So Prabhupada says, take it as an axiomatic truth. There's no happiness in this world. Who's accepted that so far? Almost. Maybe. Okay. Well, the idea is the more that one is convinced of that fact, if you're not convinced, Krishna has a plan for helping you become convinced. You know what that is? That's your whole material existence. If you... the happiness of this, in the absolute realm, everybody's always happy. But in this material world, one does not find happiness. So even though it looks like it's just, they do this with animals. Sometimes they put a carrot on the end of a stick, isn't it? I don't think it would work with a smart animal, but because he could see, I'm moving 2 feet and the carrot's moving 2 feet. I'm moving 4 feet, and the carrot's moving 4 feet. I'm running, and the carrot's running. So maybe it doesn't work, but if your intelligence is covered sufficiently, you continue to go after that carrot. So the material world, I know we were having a Bhagavatam reading, and it was talking about how money won't make you happy. And then we brought up in the discussion how when people win the lottery, it ruins their life. It actually just, they're devastated within a short period of time. Like everything is really goes bad for them in a short period of time. So this one lady that was there, she says, well, I'd like to try that and see if it would do it with me. I'd like to win the lottery. It won't happen to me. So I said, that's the point. That's why we're reading. That's why we hear this every day, because we're always thinking it'll be different for me. In fact, that was one of my realizations recently, is another definition for humility, because I'm always trying to, there's many definitions for that word. And one of them is all these rules the Prabhupada gave us, they're actually all for me. You know, it's like, because sometimes one can think, well, that one, I'm all right. I can still do that, and I can still do that, and it won't affect me. You know, if I do this, that won't affect all these other things. They won't affect me. But I've noticed now that instead of saying that one is humble, I've noticed that you can put a D on the end of it instead, is that we've been humbled. Because I don't know if one can become humble until he's actually humbled. And that's realizing some of the greatness of Krishna's omniscience and omnipotence, that all these different little points that Prabhupada makes, Krishna makes, they're actually all for me. I specifically noticed that I'm so glad to be back here and having my sadhana in good form again to some degree. Traveling, it's very hard to have good sadhana. You know, it's not the same by yourself or in a small group. And it's a sankirtan, it's a congregational chanting. You can't congregational chant by yourself. Not quite the same. So it has an effect. You know, the material energy acts more powerfully, because it says as one hears the Bhagavatam and he comes more inclined by the mode of goodness being regulated by the sadhana, that the modes of passion, ignorance act less powerfully upon him. You know the verse? It's right in that same group. He says, thirteen. I was thinking there's one also that the modes of greed and lust and greed. That's nice. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. And then the second chapter? Yeah, the second chapter. So this second chapter of the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, second chapter, it has the whole thing summarized in about five verses. I think it's 16 to 21. They basically have the whole process there.
Oh, so you put them in the case? Yeah. Look at that. He's good.
New blood. So maybe we can read it. Okay, 16. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. Well, what happens then? Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desires from material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuously, when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance on classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome, there's the smile, to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service to the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness. He becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. I think there's one more. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive acts is terminated when one sees the self as the master. So just these couple verses, we can see that one is liberated simply by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, doing service to the devotees. So, in the early days, I was just thinking back to when I joined, was in the 70s, it was a tidal wave of spreading Krishna consciousness, and everybody was engaged all day long. In fact, I remember temple commanders, one of the things sometimes they would do is they'd have everybody write up their list of activities that they did all day, from the time they woke up to the time they went to bed. And you couldn't squeeze a 10-minute spot any place in the schedule. Anybody else remember that? That's just the way it was. It's not that, well, I need a little time for myself. No. And everybody was, it was such a incredible time that you'd go out on Harinam for hours and hours and hours. I know it's on Saturday twice as long. And it's Kevala Ananda Khan. So anyway, just about out of the time. So here we're seeing this incredible wife of the Brahmin who had this fixed consciousness that she's speaking, and specifically a couple of the things, like she says, you know, there's a saying, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. So she was understanding how Krishna is in my heart. So Krishna is also in your heart. He's the super soul of everyone. So are there any questions or comments?
Oh, to be found. Thank you.
I just want to recap the story a little bit.
Okay.
So this Saudas was hunting. He killed a Rakshasas.
Yeah.
His brother went to his kingdom and cooked some human, gave it to Vashishta. Vashishta cursed him.
He cursed the king.
Yeah, to act like a Rakshasas.
Yeah.
So then one, he was hunting or something, and these couple were engaged in copulation, and he ate the Brahmana, right?
Then, well, at the story at this point so far, he hasn't eaten him yet. He's just getting ready to.
But, and then later on, the course would be finished, but then he couldn't beget kids from his wife. And then Vashishta took his place and got us on something.
Yeah, the power, though, of the chastity, mm-hmm. of a woman's chastity is, like, amazing. Oh, yeah, something.
All right, and then you speak. Yeah. Also, what I observe in many, many times in the Bhagavatam, beings would know the time of conception. Most times, and they were only engaged in procreation at that time, you know. But many, many times at the time of conception, you know, they engage in procreation, and they know, you know, I mean, not out of time. Just like even, I mean, devotees now also, is the same thing, you know. But I kind of observe this again, but in many other stories, the same thing, you know, they would engage in copulation at the time of conception.
Sometimes it's a big event. You know, I mean, it wasn't like nowadays we're more or less polished, not so much animals, the dvipasus. But other than that, I have one funny story. Maybe I'll share it with you. Back when my son, who's now 35, when he was 10 months old, we were visiting my parents, which weren't particularly favorable, and her parents weren't particularly favorable. The parents generally weren't particularly favorable back then. So she starts to nurse my son, and my father-in-law is appalled at this. You know, he's saying, how can you, you know, she's covered up yet, you know, everything, but it was still, this was so disturbing to his mind. And I'm, you know, my 20s, young, Krishna conscious, slightly arrogant more than now. And so I take the opportunity to say to him, I said, what do you think that they're for? You know? And we have kind of a, you know, he's a father-in-law, he's kind of similar to a mother-in-law, you know, so. Anyway, that was, I just kind of remembered that, and there was a couple more things I said that were similar to that too, but I just, that's the idea. I mean, this is what they're for, bringing children into the world, and that's, when one's not in the mode of passion, he doesn't see like that. The mode of passion has designations based on desire, and in the mode of goodness, one has duty, and he actually sees one lit, the spirit soul separate from the body, that one undivided spirit amongst the different bodies, that we're all the same spirit soul in a sense, not homogeneously, but we're all spirit, and the body is just a temporary thing, like Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. You have you and Krishna are eternal, material nature is eternal, time's eternal, but the manifestation of potato head hell, the senses are all grouped about the mind as one is going from one body to another body. That's the only one that's temporary. So they're so solid in their duty, and they develop such power that I'm sure you know the story about how they can stop the sun, the chastity of the woman can stop the sun. You know that story. Who knows this story? So can somebody knew this story. There was, anyway, that Pundarik looks like he's cogitating on that. Huh? As we get older, we have to pull our
because Yamaraj is supposed to take her husband the day after her marriage, so she stopped the sun from coming. So everyone came and said to Yamaraj that you can't.
I heard one with the son, but I don't remember that clearly. But this one with Yamaraj, okay. Satyavati, she followed Yamaraj, and then she says, Savitri, one who's followed someone for 7 steps becomes a friend. So Yamaraj makes a pleading. She says, well, I want 100 sons. He says, okay, and so many different requests. So, but he continued taking her husband. So, uh-huh. So she said, but I cannot have children without my husband. So then Yamaraj says, you won, you know. And then he gave her back her husband. You know, it's a wonderful story.
Yes, yeah, so these tricks, we see that even Krishna, Shashi Gopal, deity, he also likes to be defeated by his devotee. When he was saying the Brahmin had made a vow, a promise in front of the deity, and he wasn't going to keep it, so he said, you'll have to come and bear witness to what the Brahmin said. And the deity said to this Brahmin, the older Brahmin, he says, everybody knows deities don't walk. So of course, the Brahmin, who's clever, he says, well, if you can talk, you can walk. And then Krishna was defeated again. So Krishna likes this, you know, if you to use these different points. So there's so much potency. We should never forget, as devotees, we're actually dealing with Krishna now. It's not karma anymore. These everything that we do is very significant and powerful. We shouldn't minimize any of that, because then it's actually something like a doubt growing. One should test it. Because Prabhupada said, Palena Prachyate, you see by the effect, see by the result, see what you're doing, not in a way that Karma Mimamsa type of testing, but by just depending on Krishna. Remember with Draupadi, when Krishna came to supply the sari, you remember what Draupadi said when Krishna first got there? What was the first thing she said? Why'd you take so long? Krishna comes, and that's what you say to him. What took you so long? So he responded, he says, you didn't actually call for me. First you called for your husband, then you tried to hold on yourself with one hand. So we have to learn how to depend on Krishna. In fact, there's 6 symptoms of surrender, right? Accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable, always be confident that Krishna will protect you, isn't it? And be exclusively dependent on His mercy, have no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord, and always feel oneself meek and humble, which kind of is a byproduct of doing the other five. All right. Oh, question. Thank you, Gina.
When you made the point about when we're not smiling, we're having material desires or thinking about it, reminds me of a story Mula Prakriti told in Los Angeles. She's a books distributor, and she'd go to the airport every day, and if she found a really favorable person, she'd bring them back to the temple. So one day she brought this person back, and she took him all over the temple and showed him the temple room and the different displays and everything that was in Los Angeles at the time. And at the end she said, "Well, what's your opinion? What do you think?" And the person said, "Who died?" And she said that was always such a revelation to her, that everybody was walking around looking very grim, like someone had died. And so she always remembered that, yes, we need to be joyful in this process.
Well, Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. Now, is that an instruction or a byproduct? But yeah, you could say that it's an order. Chant and be happy. If you're not happy, you need to think about that. And then there was a time that Prabhupada's disciples were called bright-faced. And in fact, you can pick a devotee out of a crowd usually because they're bright-faced. But of course, you know, devotees, because that meek and humble, sometimes they're not smiling because, you know, the Vipalamba Seva, when they become advanced, but they're still glowing. But they're, you know, how will I ever make advancement? There's that nice prayer that I have no love for Radha and Krishna, nor for the process of developing it, hearing and chanting. I'm not even born in a nice family. I have no philosophical knowledge, but I have this desire to become a servant of Krishna, Gopi Janabalava, and this desire is causing me great pain because I'm not fit for that. So, but that's actually a symptom of ecstatic love. So you'll still be glowing even though you're not smiling. So, okay, you can not smile as long as you glow. But you can't be not smiling and not glowing yet, because then you need to check the herbicide, the weed growth. You may have a weed that's... Thank you. All glories of Prabhupada.